This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. I am one of your hosts, Maggie Morgan, and with me today is the incredible, the incomparable, the one and only Mr. Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
Hi, baby gorgeous. I am.
Hi.
Love you, baby. No, I'm doing amazing. And I'm excited to be joined here like we have been for the last like 23 weeks off. Some weeks we don't come in because they don't have an episode or whatever the case may be, but very on consistent day basis. And I'm excited to talk about this reunion that was a tailspin, which I liked most of the parts, which I was surprised that I liked most of the parts. And the one that I put my money on in Salt Lake City delivered content that I thrived when I was seeing her perform. And I was like, yes. And it was parts of this reunion that I was like, oh my goodness. Like, can I like mute this? But I didn't. But it was other parts that I was like, okay, apply the pressure. But it was other parts that I was like, okay, these women are, some of these women are, they're pulling at straws for drama and content. And I feel like we saw that from the right side of the couch.
Let's talk about it. Do you want to get into it? Because honestly, feel like we can go through like beat by beat, but also I feel like there's a lot of overarching stuff that happened in terms of like watching, in particular for me, the biggest surprise in the reunion so far in this first episode has been Heather, because I've been like, what's going on here? Like, she came in hot. Like, she came in ready to get Lisa Barlow. Like, she was ready to pull her hair, drag her to the ground. And like, I'm trying to figure out and rationalize like where exactly this came from. Because in terms of like, who should be mad at Lisa? I feel like Heather is at the bottom of the list. Like, Lisa barely did anything to Heather all season. And I think like so this is the conclusion that I've come to. I texted Jacob beforehand and was like, I have a theory, and it really ties back to what Evan said when he was here, about how the big pain point between Lisa, Heather, and Whitney is the fact that Lisa is a Mormon who gets to sort of pick and choose what she wants to do within Mormonism. And Heather and Whitney had Mormonism straight up ruin their life and steal their family away from them. And I think, notice that the real pain points for Heather were like, you called us inbred polygamist cousins, like bringing up things that are like related to the religious aspect of it. And I know that they said like they just got back from this week trip with Angie and Cabo. And I know Angie, Miss Sarah Paulson, who wants to be the sixth housewife next season, literally probably talked shit about Lisa the whole time, probably gave them all the ammo that they needed. So I really think that like a lot of this is stemming from comments that Lisa made throughout the season in regards to like Mormonism and their relationship with it. But also I think a lot of it is just like probably Heather for weeks has been like building herself up because her and Angie and Whitney have been talking shit about Lisa and she like came in guns blazing. I don't know. Sorry. I feel like I talked for so long.
No, I feel like you need to get that off. When people say guns are blazing though, that phrase is like coming in, like shoot, like, yeah, just, like I always just envision that.
Like Yosemite it's Sam.
So yes, no, literally. I think Heather's performance on this reunion was thirsty. It was very thirsty. It was very, I feel as though inauthentic, to who we've seen her like be. It was just like what you said at the beginning when you said that Heather was at the last, was the last person on the list of who really should have been mad at mm-hmm. Lisa. I think very valid. I didn't even take account that they did just come from Cabo, where Heather mm-hmm. said Angie's husband paid for the entire thing and is not trying to pretend to have a life.
Oh, and we'll get like to that. Lisa Marlon we'll get does. To that.
But I think shit was definitely talked. Texts were definitely read and mm-hmm. Heather needed a target at this reunion. Like you need someone to go after. You need to prove on why you need to be a housewife. Contracts are renewed after your performance on the reunion. And I think it was a very try hard because those comments weren't the best comments that Lisa made, but Lisa really didn't go that in. I feel like Lisa, even speaking about Mormonism, I feel like this season, Lisa still didn't really dive that deep into like the comments. I mean, mm-hmm. Who am I to tell someone what they can and cannot be offended by? But I just feel as though from my perspective, and I am not the biggest Lisa fan, especially after this reunion at all, but I just didn't feel that the energy that Heather had should have been the energy that Heather had. And I think a lot of great points were made because even Lisa was like, or Twitter person was like a Twitter question that came in that Andy read, which I don't even know if they are legitimate Twitter questions. He maybe like him and his team mm-hmm. put a Twitter handle attached to the name and just asked the question to be messy. But one question was, it was so easy for you to forgive Jen, when she called like, and she has been your friend and she called you Shrek, which I have been saying for the longest. Maybe they took that from my Twitter account. Maybe, but mm-hmm. you have this like issue, longstanding issue with, Lisa. And it just doesn't make sense. And I think she's pulling at strings. I do think on the point that Evan made, I think it rings true. I just think she's pulling at strings in this moment. And she kept trying to redirect the target, just like Lisa versus everyone. That's how Heather wanted it to be. And Lisa crumbled under the pressure, honestly.
Oh, God. Lisa in this reunion is camp on a level I cannot even express. Like, if you know anything about me, you know I love a delusional reality television character. Like, there is nothing that brings me greater joy, which is why I'm obsessed with Mary M. Cosby. If you listen to me ever on Big Brother, I loved me a spicy V. I love
spicy V.
Rachel Riley is like the, you know what I mean? Like, somebody. I know you're a big fan of
Rachel.
Oh my God. Like, she's the reason I got into Big Brother season 13. Funny. I was like, who is this woman? Season 13
is one of my favorites.
That is the first season of Big Brother I watched. But I like Lisa has a complete lack of self-awareness in a way that I'm like, how does this woman exist? Like, the fact that she's like, oh, I see, I'm held to a completely different standard when they're like, why did you call your friend a whore who slept with half of New York City? And she's like, oh, I guess I can't have a moment. Like, no. Like, what do you mean? But, like, she just is, to me, what a show like this needs. Like, you're never going to get another Mary Cosby. Mary Cosby is one of a kind. Mm-hmm. She, like, there will never be a housewife like Mary Cosby.
At all.
But if you can't have Mary Cosby, you need someone, at least, like Lisa, who I do think will be edited next season to be way more of a clown. Because, like, Mary sort of got, like, the clownish, like, cartoonish edit. And mm-hmm. I think that without her, they'll need to lean into that with somebody else. And I think that Lisa 1,000% could be that person. Because how does she, like, the things that, like, come out of her mouth, like, the facial expressions she makes, I'm like, how are you real?
No, honestly, like, how are you real? And when I see Lisa, I get what you're saying now that, you know, when you text me, I got what you're saying. When I first saw Lisa's performance in the first part of the reunion, I was just like delusion,
literally
victim, cry. Uh-huh. Like, it was all of these things that make me watch. And in the sense is like, you're really that girl that I kind of thought that you were, in a very like delusional, like, oh my, it was the moment that she said, she was talking about where her conversation with Jen, when Jen cussed her out, and she was like, her son, Henry, or whatever the two name is. She was like, he came to me because I was crying and saying, mom, you're a great mom. You're a great person. She was like, this great person rhetoric that Lisa Barlow loves to spit is a very tiresome.
Lisa Barlow is an amazing person.
I can't. But I get how you can see it being camp. It is camp.
Jacob, this, I'm telling you.
I don't really know camp.
Oh, I don't know.
If the dark side is appreciating Lisa Barlow on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, I will never appreciate her on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I respect the job that she does as a reality TV personality, but I do not appreciate Lisa Barlow in any facet of the word.
To me, the dark side.
That was a very stern talking to.
To me, the dark side is looking at Lisa Barlow for what she is, which is an effing clown and camp. Like, if you watch her, like, you're watching like a delusional person, and you're like, that's what you're doing, you will love her. She will make you laugh. You will cackle at some of the things she does. Literally, Andy's reading that text from Angie, and Queens of Bravo clipped this. Andy's reading that text from Angie, and Lisa is mouthing the words along with him as he's reading it. Like, she's memorized the text message. Who does that?
Maggie, have you seen when she's like filming with her sons on her, and it was like on the episode, I believe, or not, but she was saying something on her Instagram story with her oldest son in the back. He was saying, thank you for everyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for your support. And she was in the video, like mouthing the words that she probably told him to say. It was like, I can see how that's camp, but I will never join that side. I will never cackle at what Lisa Barlow does. I love the fact that she's getting embarrassed and flushed and just like shitted on in this reunion, but I will never cackle nor smile.
You take her seriously. The problem
because
I is...
do, because she takes herself seriously in a way that's like... But I feel as though she's trying to trick me, which I don't like being tricked. And I feel like she's trying to play in the audience face a lot of times. I'm like, that's why I cannot laugh, because I feel like I will never, Lisa Barlow will never evoke any type of joy, laughter, anything from me.
See, and the reason that she makes me laugh though is because of how bad she is at it and how crazy transparent she is. Like, she is the most transparent person I have ever seen. And then she tries to be like, what? Why? What are you talking about? Did I really? What do you mean? Why am I the one who's being like? And that's why, like, when she plays the victim, when she plays the victim, it makes me laugh. Like, it doesn't make me angry, because where did this woman come from? You know what I mean?
It makes me so, I get so, the biggest eye roll. I just get so sour. I'm like, get off.
Okay, I have to jump ahead because I have to cite this. So clearly at this reunion, Heather has a bone to pick with Lisa, and she's like, we were just with Angie on her husband's boat. Chris chartered a yacht for us because he's actually rich. He can do that. And we got to enjoy the fruits of his labor. And she was like, are you insulting John Barlow right now? I go on many trips. I've been to Europe, blah, blah, blah. So all day today, Jacob, on her Instagram story, if you go to Lisa Barlow's Instagram story, she has posted 10 or 11 photos and videos from her on various yachts and on various European vacations.
Maggie, like, okay.
Are you kidding?
So when you texted me that, I didn't watch the episode yet. I've just seen clips online, I watched the episode like 2 hours before we got on here. And so when you texted me that, I was like, is her family, like, what were the videos like? Can you like tell us what the videos were like for those who haven't seen them?
Literally just like, okay, so there, she posted a photo on her grid of her like sitting on a yacht last night, like in the reunion? 10 p.m.
Wait, yes, I need to go to her Instagram right now.
It was that photo. So she posted that, and then she posted in her story, like, several full videos of her, like, very clearly on a yacht that's on the water, not just, like, docked. And she's, like, on the yacht. Like, she probably posted, like, 4 different selfie videos of her on different yachts. And then she posted a bunch of photos of her and her husband in, like, European vacations that she labeled on Instagram. Like, she wrote, like, Italy and, like, put it and labeled it in her story. This is why I'm telling you, Jacob, Lisa Barlow is a clown. Enjoy the ride. Like, come to the dark side.
Man, but I am living for these Instagram stories, though. I am living for those.
Like, she needed to prove that, like, that got under her skin so much that she needed to prove that she was on a yacht many times and that she did go to Europe many times. Like, oh, Lisa, nobody thinks baby. You're lying. Like,
Poe baby.
What?
Poe baby. Poe baby. That's your girl, though. I can never.
I will always stand by. I will always stand by my camp queen. And also, the thing is, she doesn't know. Like, and maybe that's why, because, like, she is not self-aware. Like, if she was, like, sort of, like, winking to the camera, I think it would lose its magic for me. I don't think I would find it as funny. Like, she genuinely cares.
When she genuinely cares, and I genuinely don't care for her.
Sure. Thank you for indulging me, Jacob. Thank you.
Of course.
And I'm also glad that, honestly, I always am like, yes, whenever we talk and I'm like, are you kidding? You didn't think that moment was funny? And you're like, no, I didn't think it was funny. And then I retell it and I can make you laugh. I'm always like, okay.
You can make me giggle.
I still got it. Thanks, Jacob.
Of course.
Okay, so should we jump around? So basically, we kind of talked about Heather. Should we just go to, like, each of the ladies and talk about what they were doing in this episode?
I feel like that would be kind of an easier transition because the conversation kind of hopped, and so it'll be hard to kind of track. So yeah, I think that would be good. Also, the set was really beautiful. The set, I wrote down, I love the set. It was ice, like, I love the set. It's kind of, the set was the best dressed on this reunion, honestly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, truly. So Mary's not there. So maybe we should start with that and what they all have to say about that.
Yes.
So Mary said that Andy said that he spoke with Mary and she was really upset about what everybody said behind her back. And she didn't want to be there. And she was really upset that Whitney had called her a predator. And Whitney was like, basically all Whitney said was like, I just wish she would have been here so we could have talked about it. Like, I would have liked to apologize for that comment. And like, I would have liked to have talked to her. And Heather was also like, I wish that she would have been here too, because I actually really gained a lot of respect for her in the confessionals. And Lisa was like, oh really? I didn't. What specifically? What? Like, clearly, she's talked about the fact that Mary was like, Lisa doesn't feed her kids because all she does is feed them Taco Bell and candy.
They need nourishment. And Mary, and then in the next episode after she said that, we saw Lisa cooking at the table with her kids. She knows how to conform. She knows how to. But Heather going on the dialogue of, oh yeah, I like had a lot of respect for Mary, like in her confession. Because she clocked a lot of things on the show, and one thing that she clocked in particular was how like how fake and like how not real Lisa Barlow is, and that was the start of the Heather versus Lisa. So I kind of saw the temperature on that moment, and Lisa was like, you don't know me, she doesn't know me. And but then
she's
when
not
Heather
even 2 years
literally, but when Heather said, I feel like I garnered a new respect for her. Things she said in her confessional were so real, were so spot on. Lisa and Jenny then went on to say, well, she called Whitney a whore, so do you think that's true too? And then Heather was like, wait, what? She called you a whore? Did you miss this, Maggie?
No, I wrote that down.
No, like, I was done.
Oh, she said you're a whore?
She said you're a whore. She was like, oh, wait, never mind. I don't think that anymore. Never mind. She's not spied on. I was dying. How quickly the tide turned. But then even Whitney was like, yeah, she said that. But she also did say a lot of other good things. And I liked what Meredith said when they got to her because Heather was saying, oh, I just wish that she would have been here for Meredith, because Meredith like endured a lot this season, and especially in later episodes, and she's going to like need the help. And I just am mad about that. And I feel like she was still trying to point at Lisa, saying like, oh yeah, you really like screwed over your friend, which she kind of did say. But also Meredith said about Mary not being here. She said she kind of feels conflicted, because on one hand, she thinks that the show isn't necessarily good for, like, she isn't healthy for Mary.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I like that as a friend, that you can say that and you can see that. And I think it came from a pure place of like a friend that cares about Mary saying that. And then she also said, on the other hand, that she does like her support. She does like Mary's support. And I feel as though Meredith, seeing what her best friend of 10 years said days before filming the reunion, it would have been nice to have that support system. And I know that Mary would have clocked him and would have been a very vocal respondent of many things this reunion. But and so, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that maybe the best thing to do from here is to move on to Jenny, which and we can get her out of the way, because Jenny's entire storyline revolved around her talking shit about Mary, who's not there. Please. And like, you, I remember you tweeted that video of like the person fighting to air, being like, this is Jenny at the reunion. And like, literally, like, so Jenny, like her. So Jenny's main things that Andy brought up to her were like, okay, so he asked about Mary's comment to her. And this is the problem. Oh, also, oh, I forgot to say this at the top. We got a disclaimer from Bravo.
Oh, we did. At the top of the reunion. Which I wrote it down as well. Yeah, yeah. So go ahead.
Okay, yeah. The disclaimer says, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion was taped prior to Jenny Wynn's social media posts becoming public and her subsequent departure from the series. These posts are not addressed on the show. So I was saying this to Jacob before we started the podcast. It really is such a shame that all of this stuff came out about Jenny right after the reunion. And also like that she did all of that at all, because like a lot of what Jenny had to say was incredibly valid when she was talking about how Asian people in our country are, you know, there's been a lot of Asian hate, like violence against Asian people, about, you know, the different racial things that the comments Heather made, you know, like I like so much of that was like really important. But then when she's like going hard at Mary and like, it was just very difficult for me to separate the two while watching it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it was very hard for me to do. And even her addressing Mary's, because like Maggie said, the things that Jenny was saying in reference to how she felt when those comments were being made completely justify how she has felt as an immigrant and a minority in this country, in Salt Lake City. And I think she said from South Beach, or not South Beach,
Long Beach, California.
Completely valid of how she felt. And then she even went on to say this, as she was surprised, because as a minority, Mary should have, like, they should have supported each other. And I am in this realm of specifically comments like that, and specifically comments like Jenny made kind of later on in the episode a little bit, when they were talking about, when Heather said, oh yeah, Heather threw out her thing of, I want to say this. I know this happened kind of separately, or I think probably together. I don't know.
Sure.
But Heather said, oh yeah, I do think Mary's racist. And then Jenny said, yes, everyone can be racist. I have a different, it's kind of like, oh, do I want to go down this like hill, or go down this like long road? Because it's much longer than I feel like we have time here. So I'm just going to give a quick Jacob Jones, like my thoughts. I'm going to explain, but I'm not really going to do a deep dive into this, because I just don't feel like teaching or educating. I feel like people are very grown, and there's so many resources.
After this, you're looking for support, you're looking for more, feel free to DM me on Twitter or Instagram. I can point you somewhere so that Jacob doesn't have to, if he's about to do this. Like, there are a lot of resources that I was able to educate myself with that I can pass along to anybody after this if you're looking for more.
Yes.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Also, if you have never seen me on a podcast, I am black. And Maggie's white.
That is true. A disclaimer.
I mean, yeah, disclaimer.
That is a disclaimer.
It's a disclaimer. Yeah. Black people being racist. Meredith hit it on the head with prejudice. And I think that's a term and ignorance. I think that's a term that we can, if we want to put a label on Mary and her comments, I feel like they were prejudicial and they were very ignorant comments that Mary made. I don't think that as a black person, we are in a place to oppress anyone because I'm trying to find the words that won't elongate this conversation. Black people, in my mind, we can't be racist. We're not in a place to oppress anyone. Prejudice is another standpoint. And I think Meredith pointed that out very clearly. And I think she used the right word. And I think it was very specific. It was very like, she used that word in particular. So it's one word I'm trying to think of. Like, she had a purpose in using that word and not using the racist word when talking about Mary's comments. Because I think Mary's comments were very prejudiced, regarding the slanted eye comment, regarding the yellow tones comment. And they're very ignorant and stupid and foolish. And they offended Jenny. So I did want to say that. And there's a lot of resources that people can go to and kind of, if you want to hear it, form your own thoughts, whatever. Don't come to me with your thoughts about this topic in particular.
Don't come to Jacob. If you have something to say, come to me at @MLMorgan_ on Instagram.
We love a team. And so that was in reference to them calling Mary a racist. I do not believe Mary's a racist. Mary's not a racist in my eyes. Jenny saying what she said, I kept going back to her comments that she has made on social media that came out after this reunion were filmed regarding Black Lives Matter, regarding George Floyd, regarding all these other things. And her saying, oh, minorities should stick together. I'm like, homegirl, the call is coming from inside of the house on this one.
Yep.
Coming from inside of the house. And again, all of her points were valid as an immigrant minority on this show. In America, in Salt Lake City, and probably Long Beach as well. And so I'm not getting into her history or how she felt. But I'm just like, Jenny, your comments on social media that came out, very racist.
Inciting violence against black people.
And then another thing came up in regards to Jenny and using the black scent. Andy read, or I don't know if it was a question from an audience member or what, but he said, hey, like, let's talk about, you know, when people think, you know, when viewing this show, that when you get into it with Mary, you turn on a black scent. And if anyone doesn't know what a black scent is, it is a black accent. So a very caricature version of a black person using like stereotypical things that like caricatures of black people would like, oh, like, you know, doing like the head movements or like using your arms or snapping your fingers, just things like that. And Jenny said, like, no, it's not a black accent. It's just, you know, her accent and how she talks. And I don't know Jenny. I don't know if it's a black sin. I can understand how people can see that as being a black sin, because it is very like, oh, let me move my neck. Let me wiggle my fingers. Let me move my hands and let me kind of put, and I've always said when Jenny gets like that, I oftentimes said on this podcast that I found it to be non-authentic. I felt it to be forced, her notions of when she fights with Mary. And I'm kind of hopping over the place. So the black scent, I don't know. She says she didn't. I want to believe her. I ain't giving her no damn credit. It may be. I don't necessarily think so. I don't think so. But it very well could be. But yes.
My main issue with the black scent thing as a white woman is not her explanation, because I feel I've never spent any time in Long Beach. I'm a white woman who grew up in Michigan. I'm not an immigrant who learned English here. Like, I can't speak to that. My issue is that then she looked at the other white women on the couch and were like, do you think I have a black scent? Like, what? It's, no, like, you're asking me. I don't. Why are you asking me? I mean, and talk to the viewer who, like, or if obviously Mary wasn't there, but like, don't ask the other white women from Utah on the couch. Like, what are you talking about?
She was looking for some type of savior to, like, hey, like, can you, like, and I'm like, mm-hmm. And even this type of conversation with not a black woman present, it was like, you're, mm-hmm. this conversation is not going to go in a, yeah. in a great direction. When we're talking about racism, when we're talking about I've said this, like, pointing a black woman as a racist on the show, which they very well did. Like, I don't know if it's editing or just, like, I mean, she made comments, but I just think the whole situation, and I think I said this, like, I don't blame her, because as a minority, you're being painted as a racist. Like, what? And Jenny's looking for affirmation or some type of help when asking the other white ladies, hey, do I use a black scent? Like, and no one, you, I mean, they probably could have edited. Someone could have said something, but no one said anything. Not even Jen. Mm-hmm. Which Jen has been very vocal in past reunions and on the show about how I'm being a person of color. I mean, using certain words and things like that kind of affected mm-hmm. her. And they also,
well, Jen.
Oh, yes, you can go.
Sorry, I was just going to say, Jen is the only one who stood up for Mary to Jenny.
Yeah.
And was like, Jenny, you have to understand, you come in as a guest and then you're, like, yelling at Mary. Like, mm-hmm. that's it. You yeah. know, like, what are you? And she's like, but then I apologized when I did her makeup, like, looking at Jen to be like, oh, you're right. She was bad. Mm-hmm. And Jen was like, it doesn't matter. It's Mary Cosby. Like, you came in yelling at her. So what is she supposed to do? And I was glad that Jen said that, because I think that it gives light to the fact that, like, Meredith couldn't have said that, because all the women would have jumped down her throat. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that Jen was able to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Echo that point. And I know this word aggressive has been used with Mary. And I know particular women who have used that rhetoric with, in reference to Mary and the way that she talks to certain people, and just kind of using not the best, adjectives, I would say, to describe a black woman. And I have not heard one comment on this reunion or on the after show or that the women film after each episode calling Jenny aggressive when she actively did the, I mean, Jen did fight, but she threw a glass when Jenny threw a glass. I was like, that she was the only one, but no, Jenny threw a glass at mm-hmm. Mary, and not
Anne
once
said, Anne said to Andy,
mm-hmm.
if I wanted to hit her, I would have thrown it at her. I threw it at the ground.
And the, like, word aggressive better. Was never used to describe her actions. And I don't think any rebuking from mm-hmm. the other ladies was ever done. I'm using rebuking as in, like, a church reference to Mary. Shout out to you, Mary. But it was, like, not like, and I don't like how we glossed over that as well, because on other franchises of other seasons of different shows, and I'm just going to say this, on Black Housewives shows, when it's a mm-hmm. fight or when it's violent, it is, Andy makes it very clear, oh, Bravo, we do not stand for that, X, Y, and Z. He has done it. And he has, like, pinpointed the people that have done X, Y, and Z things, and, like, has, like, hey, like, we don't condone this, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, you seen Mary walking away from something, not engaging in mm-hmm. something, and she gets a glass thrown at her for that. I feel like a bigger conversation should have been had regarding that moment, and it should not have been glossed over. Like, oh, you threw a glass. Oh, well, if I wanted to hit her, I would have hit her, and leaving it at that. And I think the other women as, like, also should have, like, said much more about that moment in particular. I mean, once you especially saw what Mary said in her confessionals on the last episode of, like, hey, or I don't know if the confessionals were in that show, because if you remember Whitney looking at the show and she was in her dress room getting ready, it had the numbers. And so I mm-hmm. feel like it was the more raw footage more than, like, the edited shows with the confessionals. Mm-hmm. No, I feel like they heard confessionals, because then they were mad about confessionals. So yeah, maybe confessionals win. But especially when Mary was like, yeah, like, oh, none of the women came to check on me. And I guess it makes mm-hmm. me wonder who my real friends are. Some, like, something should have been said to Jenny to put her in her damn place and say, like, hey, like, this isn't OK. And none of that was done, which really bothered me. And yeah, Jenny, I just, oh, also something else with Jenny, since we're on her. She mm-hmm. was getting upset with Meredith because Meredith never stood up against Mary in regards to Jenny. For an example, if we go back to the time that they were in Zion and Jenny, Mary, and Meredith went to a type of mm-hmm. garden or whatever, spa.
The spa. Yeah.
The spa. Mm-hmm. And Jenny was being open about what her and Dewey were going through. And then she said, Mary, have you spoke to Robert Sr.? Like, how are y'all? And Mary said, oh, I don't want to talk to that about with you because I don't know you. And she got up and left. And Jenny was like, Meredith, you should have said something to Mary in that moment, being like, hey, like you, she's trying to be vulnerable with you. You should be like, okay, you should want to talk to her. And I just feel like that's so stupid. And that's so like, this is a grown woman. I think Mary is, mm-hmm. and this is not even being ageist. I think Mary is probably the oldest woman on this cast. I want to say mm-hmm. so. I'm not 100% sure, but I want to take that gamble. And you're wanting, I'm not going to force you to talk to anyone you don't want to talk to if I'm Meredith. And so how can you be mad at me because I didn't step in and say, mm-hmm. hey, can you be nicer to her? Can you like have a vulnerable moment? Like Jenny, pipe down, ma. If she don't want to talk to you, I'm not going to grovel. I'm not going to beg her. I'm not her keeper to be like, hey, you need to talk to Jenny. And that bugged the hell out of me when Jenny said, oh, Meredith, you should have stood up for me in that moment. Like, stand up for you against what? You have all these other women basically teaming up on me, honestly, in regards to Mary, even though Mary did have problems with kind of each other different women. But you have y'all, that's the power dynamic. And like Meredith and Mary on this side, the rest of y'all were on this side during filming. And so it just didn't make sense. Jenny just made a lot of dumbass comments, I feel like, this whole reunion. And in light of what we know now about her ass. I'm so glad we're not going to see her back.
Yeah, me too. I'm really glad that this is Jenny's swan song on the show. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to watch and like listen to her, you know, do all of this, which is why I'm glad that your girl gave it to her. And before we move on, I am going to say, wait. Okay. Before we move on, I am going to say we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back after this. Okay. Let's talk about Meredith. Jacob, take it away.
Oh, my queen. The one I stand, the one I ship, the one I...
She was giving.
I want to say...
Meredith is back.
Oh.
She's back.
The thing is, the first season, we didn't get this Meredith. So I don't know if we can say she's back. I think we can say she's here. Because we never got this energy. Mm-hmm. Meredith is here. She's present. Mm-hmm. She's alive. She's awakened. Mm-hmm. And she, for me, at least of the first part of the reunion, was the M to the V to the P from reading mm-hmm. the girls. And we have to say, Meredith have cleared every room she has engaged with this season, from Whitney to mm-hmm. Lisa at different moments, not really. Well, with who else? Even with Jen getting in her face and putting that iconic mm-hmm. line of, who's calling who a fraud? I smell ear to ear.
You love you, baby.
Love you, baby. Like, Meredith has delivered.
Love you, baby.
She has delivered. And so her and Jenny got into it because Jenny was, that's kind of a perfect segue from what I was talking about of them getting into it. And great job, Maggie. Great job. So
Jenny, I did that on purpose.
I like didn't even catch it. I was like, wait, a great flow of things. But Jenny and Meredith were getting into it because Jenny said that she didn't feel supported by Meredith in different moments. And Meredith said, maybe it's because I felt under attack by you the entire season. I feel like that was like a kind of a good interpretation of it.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. And they basically, Meredith was reading off the reasons on why she felt under attack and did not miss a fucking beat.
This is the thing about Meredith that always, I have always been like, oh my God, she is so dynamic when she speaks. She does not stutter. She does not bring up bullshit points. She gives it to you directly into your soul. She will say the receipts and she will give you the most ironclad, solid argument. You cannot argue with a single thing Meredith Marks says when she has something to say to you. She told Jenny all the reasons. Hold on. Let me find this.
Get them in.
Because I wrote them all down. I was literally like, oh my God. Okay.
Wait, and stop on each one because I have a comment for each one.
Okay. She says, well, how about the first time I ever met you, I had met you a week prior and we went to ice fishing. And you said that I have a tendency to ice people out and that you've known me for a while. We had met the week before, so I did not appreciate being spoken about like that. Then I'm going to lose the accent because I can't keep it up. I don't have those grounding words. I don't have family. Then she said, she brings up the fact, she was like, I felt like Jen and I were in a good place. And then you came in. Or a peaceful place. Yes, you're right. She said, I felt like we were in a peaceful place. And then you told her things that were not true, that I hired a private investigator against her. I did not. I hired a private investigator to investigate the threatening text messages to my family. And then she said, and Jenny was like, okay, are you done talking? Because like Jenny couldn't, what is she supposed to say to that? Those are all completely true. And so Jenny's like, are you done? And Meredith goes,
she said it twice. Goes, are you done?
Yeah. She goes, what else? Oh, how about the fact that you made this huge to-do about the fact that you did not want to accept a gift from Mary that was secondhand? And yet your husband, and yet my husband for his birthday got used golf balls.
From and you.
I watched Jenny's life flash before her eyes. She was like, oh, what? Used golf balls? That's ridiculous. But like, Jenny, that's classless. Have you got used golf balls?
When I tell you that, so I saw that clip because I didn't watch the reunion yesterday. The reunion came on yesterday. So I saw that clip before I saw the reunion. And that was the thing that was holding me on to continuing the reunion. I was like, wait, Meredith came. And when I tweeted this, when she clocks in, she clocks the fuck in, and I could not be more thankful, because I am not a Jenny fan. Don't like her. I don't like Jenny. And the way that Jenny, and if you could see before when Jenny was talking to Meredith, Jenny looks at the other women, and I don't know if it's for approval or if it's for like a backing in what she's saying, but I have caught that she looks at the other women for some type of affirmation of like, help me, do you agree with me? And when Meredith speaks, she speaks alone, she speaks direct, she speaks without hesitation, yes. And she speaks at you. And I love that. And every point that she made, from you make that comment saying that how I handle conflict, I just ice people or whatever the hell, I've known you for a week. How can you have that assumption about me? How can you? I would have been like, oh, this is something that Lisa put on her in her mind.
And notice that when all that the women did, this whole reunion was talk over each other. Literally, they had double pain of everybody talking. When Meredith Marks speaks, nobody else says a word. It is silent. She commands the room because everybody is holding on to every word because they're like, oh my God, this is true. Like, cause there's nothing they can say because it's just factually true. It just is. Every time that she said something over the season, I was like, whoa, like it's just true. And you know, she brought up, not to get away from this, but like she really opened up at the top of the reunion and they were like, how are you and Jen? And she started full crying, like full crying, and was like, I watched back the show and the place that I was in was horrible. My father had died. I had not grieved him. The last time I saw him was through a computer screen through glass. That's how I had to say goodbye. Me and she's like, there was a lot of really personal stuff that I cannot speak on, that I'm not allowed to really speak on. But my sister and I were fighting really, really badly. I have a nephew with serious mental health problems. Yeah. I assumed that there was a health scare there in some capacity by the way that, you know, she was getting emotional. And she was like, I felt like all of my emotions were amplified to the highest degree because of what I was going through. And it was really beautiful because Jen was like, I understand Meredith. Like that was me last season. I understand. I've been there. That's why. And Meredith was like, honestly, Jen gave me grace, like through all of it, watching it back. Like she was giving me grace. And Jen was like, because I know, because I've been there. And it was a really lovely moment, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really, like, I really felt like it set the stage. I was like, oh my gosh, season three is going to come back and Meredith and Jen are going to be friendly again. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all going to be good. She's going to be feuding with Lisa because, of course, Andy goes, Meredith, do you think Jen has been a better friend to you this season than Lisa? And Meredith goes, yes. And Lisa goes, oh, and full scoff. She like, scoffed. Jaw wait, drop.
Wait, like, I have oh. scoff. I said Lisa scoffs, literally. I literally have Lisa scoffs.
That's what I'm so saying. Funny. Embrace yeah. the camp, Jacob. Embrace the camp.
I would never. But she did. Which I, at the top of this reunion also, when Meredith and Jen had that moment, at the top of it, before that happened, Meredith apologized to Jen and said, like, hey, I want to apologize to mm-hmm. you and your family. That I like said some things and like that, like however it's affecting you. And I really love that one. And I loved when she said that through all the misinterpretation of information that Jen got back that I said, she was very kind to me. And I love to mm-hmm. see her owning like up to that, apologizing for different things. And just like very mm-hmm. being much woman about it. And when they were having that moment, Lisa scoffed in between that moment. If it was two moments mm-hmm. that Lisa scoffed at in she the did. Jen and Meredith kind of healing of a relationship, and she scoffed at both of those moments. And I was like, and then it kind of got back into, oh, Lisa said, oh, well, this, I don't, what she said, like, this is turning into something because now y'all want to be friends, but then y'all weren't friends because I was in the middle of it. And it was that type of rhetoric. And then I think Andy was like, well, it's because yeah, you were in the middle of it. If you can find it. But
Lisa says that she says, well, now I feel like we're rewriting history yes. and you're trying to put me down. She says, and that's what she said, her beautiful thing, my favorite thing she said all reunion, when she says, okay, well, I see I have to be perfect all the time and I'm held to a different bar. Okay.
And
Lisa, Meredith, I don't think Meredith is holding you to any different bar. I think maybe you called her a fucking whore who slept with half of Manhattan.
No, honestly, Maggie, something else that I just thought of, and Meredith said it. She says she confided in Lisa about all the things that she was dealing with. If you remember that. And the fact mm-hmm. that Jen can have more grace and much more, be more kind to her. Than her best friend of 10 years who knew about all these things that Meredith had coming into this season says a lot about Lisa's character. Mm-hmm. The fact that she knew what Meredith was going through and still said such horrific things about her best friend of 10 years. Lisa Barlow, your character mm-hmm. is flawed, baby. It's flawed and it's sad. But Meredith, you delivered tens across mm-hmm. the board. The way you gathered
fabulous.
Jenny, it was honestly remarkable. And you left her speechless. It was something.
Yes, she had nothing to say.
And can we talk about the smirk and the head nodding that Mr. Andy Cohen was giving?
Yes.
You know,
he loves Meredith.
You can tell. Mm-hmm. It was, I was like, okay, my girl got it. She's making me proud mm-hmm. and making Andy Cohen proud, making America proud. I was 10 toes deep in Meredith.
Should we go to Jen Shaw now?
Let's
Speaking
do it.
Of Meredith and Jen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm really hopeful that we get this more in parts 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we didn't get more about her trial. Like, I'm sure it's coming. But yeah. I did want to say at the very top of this, we get a shot of Andy or a scene of Andy going to Jen's dressing room and saying, I know for the Beverly Hills reunion, there was a rumor that Erica Jane got my questions beforehand. She did not. And mm-hmm. I don't want you to think that we are not extending that courtesy to you. Nobody gets to see my questions beforehand. Erica did not get them. And I just wanted to make that clear. And I could tell Jen was not expecting him to do that. And she was like, oh, okay. All right. All right. Like, she was sort of like, oh. Honestly, like, since her arrest, I feel like Jen has been, like, very nervous consistently. Maybe. Like, when... Yeah, I mean, she should be. So, like, I can, like, really see it in her face, like, that she, like, is, like, sheepish and nervous. But, yeah, basically, Andy was just like, so you're facing one charge for 20 years and one charge for 30 years. And she was like, Yes, my trial is March 22nd. Mm-hmm. And he was like, made some joke about, is she going to wear that to court? And she was like, maybe. Ha,
ha, ha. And Meredith's like, that's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. But this thing, and they even, I like the question that Andy brought up to Jen, which was, did you think about leaving, like quitting the show? And mm-hmm. I think, and she said that, yeah, it probably crossed her minds, and she had a conversation with her sons and Coach Shaw about quitting, but she still remains to the point of that she's innocent and that this is all mm-hmm. kind of going to be like gone because she's going to be proven innocent. And so, mm-hmm. and then the question was, well, how do your like attorneys or lawyers feel about you on the show? And she was like, they love it, but very sarcastically, like obviously mm-hmm. I think the attorney team, the people like that would much rather have her not on the show and not having this whole situation amplified even more.
Of course.
With even we saw at the beginning of this season, which we were like, the producers know what the fuck they're doing when they show Jen Shaw's beautiful house at the time. And they mm-hmm. put like this nice little music over it. They go in her closet. Like they
not
do
at
little,
the time.
Literally, they do a little like slow-mos of her closet. And while we all know what actually happened. And I mean, I thought that Jen Shaw, because I think the question was like, oh, why didn't you quit? She was like, she's innocent, so she felt as though she didn't need to. They're all good friends. And I wanted her to say, because this is a job and I need a job. Like this is my job right now and I need this. I don't have anything else really going on besides this and the ongoing trial. I can't. Her business probably stopped. And so I wanted her to be completely honest and say that, because that would be like breaking the fourth wall in like a different aspect. But I didn't want her to say, mm-hmm. oh, because I need this paycheck. What do you mean? Why am I still here? I need this money.
Oh, so I mean, I don't really know what else to say about her, because the other conversation that involves her is Lisa. And I want to save that because I think we should do Whitney and then Lisa, because we can talk about Whitney and the caterer and then move into all of the stuff with Lisa, which we touched on a lot of it already.
Yeah,
but I did want to talk about Whitney and the caterer. So Whitney, basically, this reunion didn't get a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, she was on the quieter side, except for when, because Heather was fighting the battle for her a little bit. Like, Heather was the one who was, like, really going after Lisa.
And what was Heather's storyline if Mary wasn't there? Because a lot of Whitney's storyline circulated around Mary kind of blowing her off.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so...
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, I mean, all of Jenny's storyline focused around Mary, and most of Whitney is focused around her. But Jen did admit Whitney is the pot stirrer, mm-hmm. and so is Lisa. Like, they both were like, okay.
Whitney used a great analogy of like, Lisa is the pot stirrer, but I just take the baton and like run with it, which I think is very true. It's very true.
Yeah, like Lisa's the one who's like, did you hear? And Whitney's the one who goes up to them and be like, Lisa said this. Is it true?
Run this bitch around.
Oh my God. Yeah. So basically they're rehashing the catering thing and they're talking about Angie, and it's like nothing new is coming out about it. Basically the biggest thing that came out of it, I thought, is Heather being like, well, Lisa controls what you say. Like, Lisa, before you film, will text people mm-hmm. and tell them what to say, which mm-hmm. I completely believe.
I do too.
I completely believe that. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? Like, that is Lisa Barlow textbook. But they were bringing up, like, that they went out with Angie. They did all this stuff. They brought up the Fresh Wolf party that mm-hmm. Lisa invited Whitney to. Actually, maybe we don't even need to talk about...
Because that's more Lisa.
Because what else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to just get into all of this stuff with Lisa? Because it basically involves everybody, everything else.
It honestly revolves around Lisa, kind of their Whitney and Heather's drama. Like, they didn't have any kind of speaking part apart from Lisa. So, we might as well just hop into her.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with the catering stuff, which is where we really got into the, like, well, we love Angie. Angie's our mm-hmm. friend. We went to Cabo with her, and you don't pose the way that you do, like, where you fake it, blah, blah, blah. Also, we forgot to bring up, Lisa brings up the fact that Heather has a DUI.
I was like, what?
I mean, I haven't seen anything about that.
I mean, Heather said it didn't exist. So... Now Maggie's searching it up now.
On the Sun, it says, secret bust. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Heather Gay arrested for DUI and tested positive for amphetamines and alcohol in 2012. Traffic stop. The Utah papers, exclusively obtained by The Sun.
Oh.
Heather was arrested and charged with a DUI at 1 a.m. on July 1st, 2012.
So it
does
exist.
Are you freaking kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? She, oh my God.
Wait, is it more? This is live reporting, guys. This is live reporting.
She was sentenced. This is a Sun article. She was sentenced to 180 days in jail. And the court suspended 178 days of them. And they allowed her to complete her 48 hours of community service in lieu of the 2 days of in jail.
Oh my God.
And she was on probation for a year in order to attend the Live Mad Victim Impact panel. Oh my God.
I'm not that scoffed.
I knew Lisa wouldn't have said that. I can't believe I just like live found that. Maybe we should have done our research before. This is like full. But oh my God, literally all of these articles in the past 5 hours.
Because Lisa brought it up. Lisa, she's sick. They're filming right now.
You know that Heather is going to be like, I hate Lisa forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God.
Lisa has done a background check on these women. Lisa, because that's 2012 before.
Okay, so this is why Heather said she doesn't have a DUI. Because she pleaded not guilty and it was reduced to reckless driving. That's why she said, I don't have a DUI. Look it up. Because it got reduced to a reckless driving charge. But it sounds as though she got a DUI that she got brought down in court.
That's so dirty.
Whoa.
That's so dirty for Lisa to bring up.
Of course it
is. That's like so low.
That is so low. It is. Of course it is so low. Oh my God. Anyways.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Lisa's screwed.
I'm shook. I'm shook right now. I'm shook.
Why would Lisa?
Okay.
I really, when she said it, it went by very fast. Like you had to really catch it in order to hear it. But wow, live reporting, baby. You can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, you heard it here first, y'all. Well, no, probably not. You probably heard it on The Sun. Which is like the trashiest gossip mag. Oh my God, The Sun?
Is
like,
it?
Does it get any worse? It might as well be the National Enquirer. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's disgusting.
Okay. So now we need to rehash the moment about the ex-coworker.
Mm-hmm.
Which is when you brought Lisa was crying. Oh, yeah.
Can we rehash something else before we rehash that?
Mm-hmm.
Because because this happened at the top of the thing where they were talking about why Jen is being friends with why Heather is deciding to be friends with Jen. But this is kind of Lisa's storyline as well. And Heather says that she would rather be called Shrek every day of the week than kind of be like basically Lisa and Meredith and saying like, oh, you called your friend a whore and I sleep with all of New York. And then she said, and she said that I'd rather be called Shrek than to kind of be like basically friends with you. But she also brought up the fact that Lisa apparently, and I don't think the text messages necessarily prove this, but Lisa apparently called Heather a Lego figurine. Basically,
yes,
body shaming.
But from the text messages that we saw on the screen looked like a screenshot from Lisa's phone where Angie sent the photo and said, oh, look, it's your cast member. Which, like, I'm sorry, Lisa Barlow is a lot of things, but it looks to me probably like Lisa said mean shit about Heather to Angie and Angie was being a mean girl back with her.
Oh, yeah.
But like, It looks to me like Angie said that.
Yeah, it was a picture, you know? Basically. Like, yeah, basically it was Lisa's phone, and it was a picture of a Lego figurine in like the wild, like very amplified. Mm-hmm. And then it was the next text we saw was cast reveal. And so I don't know what was under that one. And I think it, honestly, and when Angie probably showed Heather and Whitney, she probably deleted some of her messages, honestly, out of that thread. Because mm-hmm. you can delete your own messages if you didn't know that. She probably deleted her own mm-hmm. messages, and both of them were talking shit about Heather, but I didn't want to include that because that's a part that the body shaming or fat shaming that probably Heather mm-hmm. feels that Lisa has done is also,
of course,
that's coming into play when talking about other things as well. So, but yes,
and that's what I was trying to say. And that's what I was trying to say at the top of the show. Like, I feel like they went to Cabo and Angie told them every single nasty thing Lisa has ever said about them. Mm-hmm. So Heather came in hand being like, literally, fuck this woman. Like,
basically.
Because I'm sure that Angie was like, she said this about your marriage. She said this about your daughter. She said this, this, this. Like, I'm sure that Angie was just like being mean and telling her everything, you know?
Definitely.
Basically, yes. And the comment that Heather made about that was being like, I would rather be called Shrek by Jen, who feels genuinely sorry and gave me a genuine apology and is a good friend to me, than deal with this fake person.
Literally.
So Lisa, this is the end of the episode. So this is sort of where we can end it, unless there's anything else we need to talk about. But basically, they rehash the moment where, like, Lisa brings up Jen's ex-coworker and the one who, like, she wasn't supposed to talk about, and she was like trying to talk shit about Whitney. Whitney defended herself. It's fine. But basically, Andy's like, why didn't you invite Jen to the party, but you invited Whitney? And Lisa says, well, my son made the list, but I added Whitney to the list because I was extending an olive branch to her. And Henry didn't want to invite Jen because after we were together, sorry, I'm crying. After we were together, Jen called me and we were fighting and Henry overheard and he came up and was hugging me. And he was like, mommy, you're great, mommy. I love you so much.
The fact that you just earned your Emmy right now. That was literally spot on.
And so she was like, I thought Jen and I were never going to talk again. I thought that was the last time we would speak. And then the arrest happened. So yeah, I needed time. And then Lisa Barlow has the audacity, as everybody starts jumping and everybody's talking over each other, Lisa Barlow has the audacity to say, and you know what? I love Jen Shaw, as controversial as that is. And Jen goes, you don't have to add, as controversial as that is, Lisa.
I love you too. Yeah, yeah. That part was shitty. But I mean, she was in her, oh my God, Lisa Barlow.
And the last thing I will say is that Bad Weather was like, Jenny is Lisa's minion. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, no, like, Jenny's just a good friend to me. Sorry. Lisa's like, sorry that Jenny likes me and wants to be a good friend to me. And Heather's like, you know, I think that Jenny would never say anything because she is a good friend to you. But I think that you, and Lisa goes, do you know what you do? You like to say, I don't like to control anyone. I control everybody. I don't, because I have no tactics. And if somebody stands up for me, they're the bad guy. And she says to Heather, she's like, you're narrating me.
You're narrating me. I wrote that down because that made me smirk.
Sorry, the last 10 minutes of this podcast is just me doing my Lisa Barlow
impression. It's a cosplay. Oh, but wait. Do you, something else that I need you to, act out, and just her tone. What, remember when Andy went to Meredith's dressing room at the beginning and she said it was, did she say volatile or?
No, she said, yes, I saw the clip. It was revolting.
I was waiting for you to say
that. Andy says, revolting? She goes, yes, revolting. Wait.
I was like, I need Maggie to say this on the podcast because they need to hear how she's going to deliver it. It was perfect. It is a grounding
and
word.
Also when Jenny walked in, Lisa did go, Jenny.
She did do that. Yes.
Are you ready for tea time? I mean, we really already had a tea time where I Heather's arrest. I do have like one little thing.
Okay, let's do tea time.
Hey, ready?
Tea time.
Okay. So basically, we've already rehashed Heather's DUI live. We rehashed all of Lisa Barlow's insane Instagram posts being yes. like, I do go on vacation with my husband. But on Twitter last night, Tamara Judge was on Twitter mm-hmm. and she was defending Tamara Judge of Real Housewives of Orange County fame.
Orange County. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She was defending Lisa Barlow, saying the posturers are the ones that everybody wants to leave. And the second we're gone, everybody wants us back. And she hated what Heather was saying. And she loves Lisa Barlow. And I just thought that it was so interesting and funny.
If you watch Tamara on Orange County, she kind of resembles if Lisa Barlow had much more getting her face type of energy, because they kind of are the same. I mean, and Tamara Judge, Tamara Judge, is that her last name?
Judge.
Mm-hmm. She got mm-hmm. fired from Real Housewives of Orange County this past season. So this is the first season that she's not on. And she was actually in the clubhouse last week. And she said, remember when you mm-hmm. fired me to Andy? And Andy was like, I knew you were going to say that. But she is the posture. And she said, hey, everyone wants us fired until we're gone. And they're like, damn, we kind of want them back. Hinting at her getting
fired. Why did she get fired?
I think she got fired because they just wanted Orange County to move in a different way. Tamara has been there, I think, since not the original season, but since season three.
Season three.
And I think because mm-hmm. Vicky got fired the season before her, and now Tamara got fired. So both of them, but Tamara's also on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip season two. But I think and I believe, and it's rumors around town that Tamara will kind of be back next season. But Tamara has also been tweeting. Tamara says she loves Mary Cosby, which I like very much so like. Tamara has been also tweeting up a storm about like Real Housewives and like just a whole bunch of stuff. And people have like their different opinions. And I saw this one tweet about it, and they were saying, Tamara wants to like tweet all these things now because she wants to be like the people's champ coming back to Orange County or just something like that. So I think it is like, I never followed her. I see her stuff because I'm on the reality TV mm-hmm. like thread or whatever. But I did think mm-hmm. that was funny as well.
The only person who's really been posting, you know, I follow all these women on social media. The only person who's really been posting like a lot about the reunion is Lisa, because she was posting all these photos of her on yachts.
Not the yacht.
It's embarrassing. It's hilarious. Like, come on.
Wait, so the other ladies really haven't? Okay.
No, I mean, like, they've been posting like the reunion, but like nobody's been like posting.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Like Lisa Barlow.
Which maybe Heather has, honestly, since her DUI stuff.
Wait, you
want to
check?
Let me look. Maybe she's in.
Check.
Yeah. Heather Gay.
Let's see what Heather Gay's posting. I think they just took a cash trip, honestly. Somewhere in the United States, I believe.
Yeah, I saw them. They were on like a pedal pub.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just the five of them. That's
I know.
Terrible. Why is Angie not there? Like, why? I don't understand. Add Angie. Clearly, we need to add Angie.
I think the producers, okay, honestly, I think the producers like her. Wait, is Heather talking about anything or posting about anything?
No, she's just posting like reposts of herself at Beauty Laser and Lab.
You know what we need for season two? We need, I hope we get Mary M. Cosby in a Watch What Happens Live interview. Like, I would love to see a one-on-one. Like, because he does mm-hmm. do one-on-ones. He did it back when, but he did like Housewives specials. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City special. Like, Mary Cosby tells all, like a one-on-one interview with him. I would mm-hmm. love to see something like that. And I hope I need to DM him, let him know.
And tell him. Jacob.
I will.
You tell him. Okay. I think that's it. We still have two more episodes of this, guys. Thank you for, if you're listening, thank you so much for listening. I got a DM today from a listener named Heather who DM'd me on Instagram and said that she had just finished like Real Housewives and was excited for tonight or to listen to the pod, and you weren't texting me back. And I was like, Jacob isn't texting me back. I'm glad somebody wants to talk about Real Housewives. Like,
I can see a full thread of like conversation about Housewives.
No, I just told her that you hadn't texted me. I was watching too, and you hadn't texted me back wait to hear your thoughts. That's all I said. But thank you guys so much for listening. If you are enjoying this, please rate and review in Apple Podcasts. Like, if you've been here for all 22 episodes, like,
that's insane.
Please let us know. I know, it's crazy.
We're like veterans. I mean, this could honestly be our like second season podcast with 22 effing episodes. Cause I know some shows, they like have like 10 or something like that, and then that's done. And then next season, they come back. Mm-hmm. We're kind of like veterans, honestly, at this point.
We are. We're like the best ever.
TBH, the dynamic duo. Yeah. I'm here for it.
You guys, Jacob got me to go to a club this weekend.
Yes. Also,
I don't do that.
Wait, Maggie, the guy, I was with them like last night, and he was like, "Wait, did you have fun at the? Did you have fun?" And I was like, "Yeah."
This is an off pod combo. I don't want everybody to know your business if you don't want people to know your business, and we're being vague. All I'll say is that we went to the club. There was someone there that I was trying to get Jacob to talk to that he didn't want to talk to, but it seems as though they did talk.
Yes.
So, Jacob, where can people find you? If they're interested in hearing more from you.
Wait, I can't believe I just. I can't believe I just said that too. I was like just talking to you, and I forgot
we were not holding projection. I know. You forgot we were still recording. Oh my god. Do you want to cut it out, or should we keep it in?
I was very vague. It was just one moment. people can. You can find me.
Where can people find you?
At Jacob_J_Jones on all social media platforms. But make sure you rate and review us. Maggie, where can people find you at?
People can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_ and on Twitter @_MLMorgan. And Big Brother Canada's around the corner. I don't have anything scheduled yet, but I'm sure that you will be on and I will be on at some point. So Temptation Island. Oh yes, Temptation Island is coming back March 14th or something like that.
March 16th.
Ooh, I think it's March 16th. I don't think it's March
14th. That's a Wednesday.
But I will have a complete exact date for you. I will be covering that again this season with Kirsten McInnes. So stay tuned for that. That will be in the Hot Dummies on Islands feed, in your wrap up feed.
Yeah, Maggie, that's like right when this ends. Maggie is almost one of the hardest working women in podcasting. Right when Salt Lake City ends, that's another Maggie is on the go, people, on the go.
Booked and blessed. I'll probably be doing
Big Brother coverage too.
Big Brother Canada. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Survivor's coming on, but Jacob and I are like, our like teeny Survivor podcast.
Yeah, we have
people who know way more about mm-hmm. it than me. So like, why do they want to hear from me honestly, when there's like Shanna Gus?
Literally.
All right, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. We will see you next week. We love you, baby.
Bye.
Bye.